Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast and Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, the pastor of St. James Catholic Church in McMinnville, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast.
So just before Mass, I was talking with one of the lectors, and I mentioned that with all the Ten Commandments, probably the hardest one to keep is not coveting my neighbor's ox or donkey, because I've got this plow that I want to try out, and I just need a good ox, good strong ox with those big horns. And then the other thing is I always wanted to go canyon riding, like through the Grand Canyon. If I just had a donkey, you know, that'd be great. So, well, obviously those aren't my two most difficult. But, you know, coveting is a serious sin and something that's you know, kind of difficult at times. But what I want to talk about today, obviously I can't go through all the commandments, but I do want to talk about a couple of them. The first commandment with a little bit of bleed over into the second and the third, and also about the fifth commandment. And so I went to the catechism, since I was teaching on this anyway over the last couple weeks, and I'll be doing it again on Wednesday. So let's look at that first one. So you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. So that means we give God what he deserves, our adoration, our prayer, and our sacrifice. It means we live up to our religious promises and obligations. It means no superstition, idolatry, divination, magic, horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, omens, psychics, mediums, channeling, occultic practices, or other similar things. It means no idols, no materialism, no greed, no power, no money, Satanism, pleasure, politics, race, or putting any of these things before God. No sacrilege, irreligion, indifferentism, anti-religious activity. It means not taking the Lord's name in vain or abusing God's name or trivializing it. It means keeping the Sabbath holy, attending Sunday Mass and worship, refraining from activity that hinders worship of God, being mindful of our joy and place of salvation, and doing works of mercy. Okay, well, that's easy enough. Let's go to the next one. So let's look at that fifth commandment. So that's, you shall not kill. Now, in its original concept, it's really, you shall not murder, that taking of innocent life. So what this means is no homicide, no infanticide, no fratricide, abortion, euthanasia, or suicide. No putting others or oneself in mortal danger through risky behavior. No refusing reasonable assistance or help during famines or epidemics. No cooperation with evil that degrades or takes human life. No kidnapping, promotion of war, overaccumulation of arms. We need to show respect for others and respect for the dead and use of ethical scientific research. Promotion of peace, avoiding hatred, anger, and war where possible. Legitimate self-defense and just war is permitted within its proper understanding. Okay, so those are just a couple commandments. And as you heard those being listed, you're probably thinking that, well, I would like to keep the commandments, and we would love to keep the commandments. It's something that I think deep down we want to do, but it's also true that we don't quite get there, that we don't always do what we want. But there is a question that underlies this, and it's like, why is it, for example, that we should keep the commandments? Well, there's a couple reasons. One is it's the right thing to do. Part of natural law means that we were designed to thrive by keeping the commandments. You know, that's how we live well. But the other thing is it's what God tells us we should do. And because of that, I think we know that we have a duty and we have an obligation and we feel like we should do what is right and what is just. But nevertheless, we fall short. And there is a question about why is it that we fall short? In the last week, we had, like with our religious education, with our confirmation, first communion, We have these little booklets we designed for the youth and for the kids so that when they go to class and they go to Mass, they get a little stamp that shows that they did. It's just a simple way to try to encourage people to go to Mass and to attend classes, and helps us to keep track of these things. But we made a mistake last week because as soon as class was finished, we took the little stamps and stamped all their books, and then all of a sudden everyone realized that, hey, I got my stamp. I don't have to go to Mass now. And so they all just scooted and left pretending like they went to Mass, except for a couple of the kids. But I thought about that. First of all, the whole incentive system, I was thinking maybe it's not quite doing what we want here. But what I was thinking is, this is one of those ideals that I think the ideal is that we go to Mass because it's part of that first commandment. But the reality is, it's very easy to say, what is the minimum I need to do? And if I could just get my little rubber stamp, then I'm good to go, and I don't have to kind of go that extra mile. I don't really have to push myself to do more than the minimum. So what is it about us that we have a desire where we maybe want to fulfill the commandments as an ideal, and we feel that we have an obligation and a duty to do so, but on the other hand, it's really pretty easy to excuse ourselves from having to really do that. So what is it about our motivation that it's not quite right? And I think we find the answer actually in the gospel today in an indirect way. So Jesus goes to the temple, and we all know the story. It's in all four gospels. So Jesus goes and he overturns the tables and gets rid of the money changers. And most people will look at that and they'll say, well, yes, there was corruption and the money changers were kind of skimming off the top and taking advantage of the poor and the pilgrims, and that's wrong, and Jesus was calling them out on it. That's true, but there's more to it than that, because there was a prophecy in the Old Testament, and it showed up in several spots, where when this new covenant comes along and when the Messiah comes along, there's going to be a purification of the temple, and there's going to be a new style of worship. Now, the understanding of the Jewish worship at the temple is that this is where God's presence is most present in all the world. That this worship at the temple where they offer sacrifice and they come and pray and worship, this is the place where God is most present in all the world, at the temple. Now, when Jesus comes as the Messiah, if you're saying, well, if the presence of God is in the temple, and that is supposed to be the place where he is most present, well, what about Jesus, who is divine? Well, that changes things, doesn't it? Because that means that Jesus is the place where the presence of God is most present. And that means in his person, in his body, that he is literally the new temple. And because he's the Messiah, and he's ushering in a new way of worship, that it's time for the temple worship to pass over to a new type of temple worship, and that new temple is literally the body of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Because with Jesus, we not only can understand that the presence of God is on earth, but we can have access to the Father through him. And specifically, we have access to the Father in true worship through Jesus' death and resurrection. And so through our dying and rising with Christ, that we are able, for the first time in human history, after his death and resurrection, he brings us to the Father, and we can offer a true sacrifice of praise in spirit and in truth. And so this new worship that Jesus brings is the true purification of the temple. And this is what he wants of all of us. So you might think, well, what does this have to do with us keeping the commandments? Well, if the fullest presence of God is found in the body of Jesus or the person of Jesus, then if we have any hope of following any commandments or any of the ways of God, it's only going to happen if we love Jesus in his person. Because if we don't really love Jesus, then it makes it easy for us to say, well, what's the minimum I have to do? But love changes everything. And I think that's a real good reason why Jesus says, well, let's sum up the commandments. Love God, love neighbor and love yourself. You know, it's that word love. And it doesn't mean love as, you know, kind of an emotional state of feeling all happy inside, but it means love as being loyal and committed out of a sacrificial love that you have for someone who is greater than anything else and worthy of our love. And that is true of our God. There is no one or nothing that is more worthy of our love. And if we understand that and we commit ourselves to that, then that changes everything. It's very similar to making those sacrifices that you have to make as a parent. Can you imagine if it was just a duty you had to do, but you didn't love your kids? You know, it's like, well, I'm not waking up in the middle of the night. It's like, why should I have to do that? I don't even love you. You know, but you do love them, right? So you are willing to make these kinds of sacrifices. Or the same with a husband or a wife. When those difficult times come, you respond in sacrificial commitment and love because of the love. And anything that we love makes it so that we're able to expend great efforts. But if we don't love anything, that makes it very easy to say, well, I'm just so burnt out. And it's like, well, of course you're burnt out. You were never on fire. I mean, this is kind of the problem. But if we love, we are capable of making great commitments and sacrifices. So much so that it sets our hearts on what is truly good. And so if we love God, if we love Jesus, and we commit ourselves to him, especially his person, we fall in love with the person of Jesus, then all of a sudden we want to follow the commandments. And we want to follow the commandments because we love our God, not because we have this duty and we're somehow slaves to the commandments. It's not an arbitrary set of rules. It's not just a bunch of things that keep us from doing what we want to do. It's actually a participation in the very act of love where God loves us first and we respond to that. Very often in confessions, a lot of kids will come in and confess things, and one of the things that gets confessed is, you know, well, I don't really help my parents out, I don't listen to them, and, you know, this sort of thing. I suppose we all do that to some degree. So then, for a penance, I'll say, well, tell you what, for your penance, just do something kind for your parents. You know, help them out around the house, tell them you love them, or something like that. And then I'll always say something like, and don't do it because you have to. You know, it's like, Mom and Dad, I'm helping you with the dishes because I have to. You know, it's just, but do it because you love them. It's an expression of the love that you have for them. And do it also because you love God. And it's an expression of the love you have for God. So now all of a sudden, doing the dishes isn't some chore or duty that I don't want to do, but I'm being forced to. But it's an expression of the love that I have for my parents and the love that I have for my God. And so today I'm just asking you all to think about your love for Jesus. Is it where it needs to be? And if not, then that might be a good place to start. You know, be praying about that. Lord, help me to know you and love you. Spend a little time reading the Gospels and come to know who Jesus is and what he said and what he did. And read the catechism, read spiritual books, do whatever you need to do to be able to come to know who Jesus is. Because the more you know him, the more you will love him. There is no one more worthy of our love than Jesus himself. And if you're already perfect with all the love of God thing, then maybe look at those commandments. We have a great catechism that really explains a lot of what we are supposed to be doing as people of faith with our morals and our values. And it's good for us to know that. We can't just assume that somehow we have it all figured out. We need the assistance of Jesus, the gospel teaching, and the church. So we can always do that. But let's make sure that we're getting the first part right. Because if we truly love God, and we truly love our Lord Jesus and who he is as a person, it will really help us to not only know what is right, but to be able to live according to that truth.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.